Seeking mental health care can be overwhelming and even scary, but it doesn't have to be. I'm Dr. Josephine McNary, and I'm committed to making this process easier for you. Each week, my expert guest and I unravel a different form of therapeutic intervention in order to bring comfort and understanding and to help you get back to your true self. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mind Stories. Today, I'm pleased to have in as our guests Dr. Catherine Taylor and Julie Ersik. Dr. Taylor is a licensed clinical psychologist who focuses on ways to provide evidence-based, effective, accessible mental health services to specific target populations, from adolescents to veterans. Her areas of interest include postpartum mental health, anxiety, depression, crisis management, and app development. She has a BA in psychology from Stanford University, a master's of public health from UCLA, and a PsyD from the PGSP, Stanford PsyD Consortium. Julie Ersik, JD, MSW, is a licensed attorney and associate clinical social worker in private practice in Hermosa Beach and San Pedro. She specializes in treating perinatal mood disorders, including anxiety and depression, using evidence-based approaches, and enjoys working with the pregnant and postpartum populations. With her 17 years' experience at a law firm, she has a special interest in working with clients in high-stress professions trying to manage their work-life balance. Today, we discuss ambivalence about becoming a mother, and their new therapy group titled Meh About Motherhood. Welcome, Catherine and Julie. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So the title of our podcast today is Meh About Motherhood. And I know we chose that title because it's based on a group that both of you have created, a clinical group. And I'm wondering if you can maybe talk about that group and what made you think about even starting that.
Sure. Yeah. So Meh About Motherhood came from this observation that I had. I work at a OBGYN practice doing short-term therapy, and I also have a private practice as a psychologist. And I was noticing that people who were thinking about becoming pregnant or who were pregnant, there was this feeling of ambivalence and fear and worry and a real conflict around different identities that they held that kind of contributed to this just kind of meh about motherhood feeling. And I saw it more and more. I had experienced it when I had my first child 11 years ago, where I felt like the baby books and the pregnancy registries were reflecting this bundle of emotions that I didn't really identify with, this kind of pure joy and excitement. This is what I've always wished for. And that didn't really resonate. And so more and more, I saw people really acknowledging and expressing all the different emotions that can accompany pregnancy. And I think there was a need to be able to have a place for them to share those and discuss those and realize that they weren't alone. So the group is a 6-week series. It's a therapy group. So we do an intake, 6 sessions, and we try to pull in whatever topics the members are interested in. But a lot of it focuses on managing difficult emotions, sharing those emotions that maybe societally feel like they're not acceptable, merging different identities, and kind of your standard pregnancy group stuff, like delivery's terrifying, and are my partner and I going to survive this, that kind of thing.
Right. And just to clarify, so it is people who are not contemplating motherhood, people who are already pregnant or have children and have some, you know, conflicting maybe thoughts or feelings about that.
Well, yeah, we went back and forth on where we wanted to get people. And I think we started with people who are pregnant. And then there was a request for a group of parents of young children. And then I've also since then had a request for people who are contemplating pregnancy. But they do, in my opinion, need to be distinct groups because they're decidedly different phases, right, of the decision-making process. So we're hoping to expand.
So in your group, oftentimes there's probably common themes that emerge amongst group members and that you kind of discuss as a whole. What are some common themes that you work with?
So there's been a bunch. One of the main ones we hear about are a lot of the physical changes, right? Like it being really difficult to move around, feeling really uncomfortable. There's also been a lot of discussion about feeling a little bit resentful about our partners being able to go on living their normal lives while we are pregnant and not able to do a lot of the things we used to do. So there's been a lot of discussion about those. There's also a lot of talk about not feeling connected to the pregnancy. And so feeling like there's this risk of complication, plenty of things can go wrong. And so often that results in just this ambivalence, which I think is probably protective, right? So if we're not really feeling connected, we feel like maybe we'll be able to process bad things better down the road if something bad happens. There's also been lots of fear of the birth process, like the physical changes that can come from that, you know, not knowing what's going to come. And lots of people choose to kind of avoid, not read any of the birth books because they don't want to know. I think that's probably also a bit protective. It seems interesting that the avoidance has come through so clearly, especially among people in this profession who are often in our group. Another really common theme is feeling like a loss of identity might happen once the baby comes and feeling like we might not be able to experience the same things we did prior to pregnancy or motherhood and really worrying about what that looks like future life.
Yeah. And to piggyback on that, I think being located in San Francisco, it's probably true in LA too, there's a lot of people who are initiating the childbearing process a little bit later and have a very, very established professional career. And despite the press around endless leave and, you know, you can take as much as you want, there's a lot of forces at work that really don't allow childbirthing people to hold the motherhood identity and the professional identity at the level that they anticipated. And so this really becomes an issue when we're expecting and we've got a time limit and we're planning this leave for work and maybe we've never left work ever for 3 months before. So it's a tough moment.
Yeah.
To add to that a little bit, I think loss of control has been hard for some people in terms of feeling very established in their careers and very in control in what's been going on in their lives thus far. And then really feeling like in pregnancy, anything can happen. And it's really out of our hands.
Right. There's the lack of predictability.
Right.
I also wonder if it comes up this idea of shame. So if you do have some ambivalence, uncertainty about, okay, did I make the right choice? Do I really want to become a mother? Does that mean I don't care about my unborn child? Does that mean I'm not going to be a good mother? I'm sure that comes up quite a bit.
Yeah, we talk a lot about this primary emotion and then the secondary emotion on top of it. This primary emotion maybe being, I'm not sure if I can do this. How did I get here? Where am I? And then immediately the shame and guilt. Maybe other people have fertility challenges. I should be so grateful that I can do this. I should be so happy. I should be all the things that the baby book says I should be. And so there's a tremendous amount of shame. And then it forces people to remain quiet about these emotions. And so we really try to unpack some of those secondary emotions that are keeping us quiet, some of those primary ones that are tough to express, and kind of create safe spaces and safe channels for those.
And I would also assume that hearing other people express their internal worries that they might feel hesitant about expressing that to some other people outside of group might validate someone else's experience with those thoughts.
Yeah, we've heard quite a bit about that. We've heard the opposite of being in a birthing class and everyone being very excited and a group member feeling like they can't really express how they're feeling because it's not really acceptable or feeling that it's not acceptable among these people.
So I wonder if an individual's feeling about having children, becoming a mother or a parent might change, evolve, morph over time, whether it's considering becoming pregnant, going through fertility treatments, being pregnant, and kind of the postpartum period into the rest of motherhood or parenthood. I'm sure that changes for everybody.
Yeah. And I think it's a really interesting process because I work with a lot of people and I had this experience where, you know, I got married, we were married for a few years, and kind of that societal expectation of the next step was to have children. And I thought, okay, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. And then the focus very much became on getting pregnant. And so that became a focus. And when I managed to do that, all of a sudden, the meaning of it kind of seeped in. And maybe that's how our brains kind of map that out to help protect us. But the truth is, when you're pregnant and awaiting this tremendous life change that everyone is reinforcing is the biggest life change ever, and it's never going to be the same, it's a particularly terrifying time because I also work with people postpartum. And while it's very, very stressful and there's a lot of identity challenges, the fear piece tends to not be as great because the baby's already here and we're kind of in it, right? We're kind of doing the crisis coping. But the pregnancy piece, after you've done the getting pregnant and before the baby comes, I think feeds a lot of that fear feeling.
Yeah, I've noticed that quite a bit of the fear is associated with the pregnancy itself, which can result in this kind of meh feeling because people are very worried about a successful pregnancy and having a live birth. And often they say, I'm sure once the baby comes, I'll feel a lot better. And oftentimes they do.
We could do a completely different hours long or more podcast on this topic, but the extent to which effort to conceive and fertility treatments, how does that fold into a pregnant person's experience of being pregnant?
Yeah, that's such a good question. IVF process, other ways of family building are so intense. And there's often a ton of grief wrapped in around loss, around tremendous efforts, financial investments to get pregnant. There's partner strain, things like that. And I think there's almost a societal expectation like, oh, you tried really hard to get pregnant and now you are. So you're just like joyous for the duration of the pregnancy and relieved. And of course, that's not true, right? Pregnancy is hard. All the different ways people family build can be hard and can be really stressful on the family unit. And I've not found, in my observation, the more effort people put in to get pregnant, the happier they are when they're pregnant. In fact, if anything, they've gone through such a process leading up to the actual pregnancy that there's a bit of exhaustion sometimes around getting to the part where they have a baby. And so I think this group that has used fertility treatments, that has used other family building measures, really needs additional support because it's been a long haul.
Right. And I would assume in that group, there's a lot more, I don't know what the word would be, a kind of defense against embracing a pregnancy because of trauma, past trauma associated with it. It's protective in some ways.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, many are coming from multiple losses and many have that difficulty connecting because they had connected previously and had to deal with really intense grief.
Right. One thing I also really want to ask too is as a psychiatrist, I actually work a lot with people who are pregnant, but also with postpartum depression. And so I assume part of the work you're doing is in some ways to help defend someone against the risk that they might have for developing postpartum depression. Could you maybe talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think the ability to kind of vocalize and be able to share the feelings that are coming up for people during pregnancy can really help in terms of protecting against postpartum depression. And in the event that it does evolve into that, people are more used to being able to share their feelings and just talk about it and normalize those feelings.
Right. I think echoing the pregnancy isn't an ideal experience or sharing that is something that hopefully will enable them to do that about the postpartum period. I had a funny situation where I was running a pregnancy group and a postpartum group at the same time. And one of my pregnancy group members accidentally joined postpartum group, and pregnancy group was full of a lot of hard stuff, but postpartum group, it was just like babies wailing. And so it was like, oh gosh, that's not a group that I can combine, right? Because it doesn't look much better in the postpartum phase. But I think one thing we talk about in pregnancy group is asking for help and thinking about support. And if you're too scared to share how you're really feeling about pregnancy, or if you're too kind of avoidant of what's coming to set up those support measures, then we're really stuck, right? Because you have the baby and there's nobody around to help you and you're not sure if you wanted to do this. And so, yeah, we do try to build out this idea that asking for help, finding support, finding the safe space, getting the partner communication up, getting in couples counseling, those are all things that are great in pregnancy and will help postpartum.
Yeah. I mean, because what I always discuss with my soon-to-be moms or parents is that the best way to prevent postpartum depression is to prevent depression or anxiety during pregnancy. So it sounds like that's your goal. You're trying to enhance mental wellness during already a high-risk period.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can have a baby and a little bit get hit with the reality of what just happened right then. And so we're trying to ease in, you know, you can get hit with that identity transition right then. And we're trying to ease into these themes a little bit so we're not feeling totally stuck and lost postpartum.
Right. So one question I have too is how do you work through this with women other than making sure you have a safe space for them to connect and express their feelings and feel validated? As a clinician, what are your clinical goals for them and how do you do that?
One, I think, is to just really normalize the idea that not everyone is super excited about pregnancy or motherhood. And talking to other people about how we're feeling can be really helpful. Sometimes we recommend having a pocket phrase that you can just share. Like if someone asks you, how's the pregnancy going? How are you feeling? You know, coming up with a phrase that you feel comfortable with that really is true to how you're feeling, but doesn't feel like constant complaining. So like maybe something like, you know, I'm taking it one day at a time, just trying to get through it. Or something that people can just say without thinking too much about it.
I'm a CBT therapist, so I'm all behavioral. And so I love to have, as Julie's talking about, a pocket phrase or other behaviors that they can use. For example, for partner relationships, we talk about using a timeout, having a word that pauses the conversation. Because while in pregnancy, you might have time to sit and discuss how you're feeling, when you've got a screaming baby and a knocked over diaper pail and, you know, vomit dripping down you, that timeout word can be really helpful if you find yourself getting into a conflict with a partner. Another thing we do is talk a lot about pulling in acceptance and commitment therapy, talking about values. A lot of people feel like their ability to be spontaneous, their desire to have adventure, their travel evaporates the minute they get pregnant. And so we try to pull this common thread, talking about what values are most important to them and how they can continue to show those through pregnancy and in the postpartum period. So there's less of a sense, or hopefully less of a sense, of loss of self through this whole process.
Right. It's this idea of being more deliberate about your values so you don't risk losing them.
Right.
Another question I feel like I want to ask is, so these parents in your group, do they ever then evolve into a postpartum group?
I'm so glad you asked, because we're thinking with this one, we may actually have a follow-up kind of phase two postpartum. And I think that will strengthen it because we know there was this shared feeling in pregnancy. And when we run into that postpartum period, it's funny, I've seen people who are really ambivalent about pregnancy and then mom was their number one identity postpartum. And I've also seen people who felt very similar that they did in pregnancy. And so I think we're going to try a postpartum group and see how it all meshes together.
Yeah, I think you should. That sounds great. I'll make sure both of your clinical information is on the website in terms of your work and how to reach you and all that. If soon-to-be parents want to learn a little bit more about this topic, do you have any favorite books or any good resources you suggest to people?
Yeah. Depending where they are in the phases, like if they're thinking about getting pregnant, there's a provider up here in Northern California named Ann Davidman, who has this amazing workshop around deciding whether they want to become a parent. So that's a really nice resource. As far as ambivalence in pregnancy, I don't know that we've had, and people maybe can correct me, but really good books about how people didn't want to be pregnant when they were. But maybe I just haven't discovered them yet. But there's quite a bit. New York Times did a set of articles around people who had different feelings about pregnancy and motherhood. And so I think there's more coming out.
Right. Any last words that you want to leave the listener with before we say goodbye?
Just that I think it's very natural to feel ambivalent about being pregnant and the idea of becoming a mother. And that the more we talk about it, the easier it will be for everyone.
Well, thanks for being on. And did we mention this before? Is the group in person or virtual?
Right now it's virtual, but we'd love to expand it and have both options.
Got it. So it could be available for people everywhere in California.
All over California. We'll drive to you.
All right. Well, thanks you too for being on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been Mind Stories with me, Josephine McNary of Cal Psychiatry. With online psychiatry in California and 13 offices throughout Southern California and the Bay Area, Cal Psychiatry specializes in medication management, ADHD, anxiety disorders, alternative therapies, women's mental health, and more. Visit us at calpsychiatry.com and let us help you get back to your true self. Thanks for listening to Mind Stories, and don't forget to subscribe.